Well, in the comments that I made around the reading, as we looked at it this morning, I've already set some pointers up as to some of the questions that I want to look at. And I think the central idea is this: what picture of the Lord Jesus Christ do you have in your head? Was Jesus really, what was he really like as a person? I wonder what kind of picture we would paint if we were to ask around. Being from Ireland, I saw many painted pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were usually some sort of very sympathetic looking person with bleeding hands, hands clasped in a way that seemed to send out a very sympathetic message. We might say something like, he was loving, he was a holy man, he is kind to the poor and the needy, he is non-judgmental. That would be very important in the 21st century. He is inclusive of all. He accepts all regardless of race, religion, gender, or sexual preference. And as the picture that we would complete of the Lord Jesus Christ, as that would begin to take shape, we might surprise ourselves that it turns, that the picture of Jesus turns out to look more and more like a 21st century politically correct liberal. And if that's our picture, then this story is quite shocking. Somebody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, please, please, I beg you, help my daughter. You would imagine immediately that that would get Jesus' attention. But he answers her not a word. He ignores her. It's amazing and quite shocking to be confronted by the silence from Jesus in response to this lady's request. He ignores her as if she doesn't exist. He pays no heed to the disciples' request to send her away. Now, the text doesn't tell me this, but I'm trying to understand what's going on in the disciples' mind here. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples have had this wonderful opportunity to get away from the crowd, to get away from the busyness of the ministry and the teaching and meeting new people and always engaged in trying to help people. They've got away for a little bit of me time. And then there's this lady coming, persistently begging and pleading, and Jesus pays her no attention. And it's almost as if the disciples become motivated and animated by this. And they'll say, yes, Jesus, but just don't ignore her. Send her away. She's annoying us. She's plaguing us. And if you would just send her away, then we could get on with the great stuff of the kingdom of God. That seems to me something of the mindset of the disciples. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ is handling the situation here in a particular, carefully planned out, loving way, in order to teach the lady something, in order to teach the disciples something, and in order to teach us something. When Jesus finally does pay attention, though he uses remarkable language, something that borders on what we would probably call today a racist remark, he said what is tantamount to calling this woman a Gentile dog. And if that kind of remark is not hurtful enough, he refuses to grant her plea to help her little daughter, and he likens her child to a dog, to a little dog. Now, you may feel that I have exaggerated the picture here, but I really don't think I have. Because surely you've got to admit, now that I've drawn your attention to it, that this is surprising behavior in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's behavior that we just read through quickly, and it doesn't dawn on us to pay attention. I have great fun, and I've had great fun, reading through many of the commentators as they seem to splutter over their coffee, trying to rehabilitate the Lord Jesus Christ here, trying to tidy up what Jesus really meant here. Oh no, he wasn't being that harsh. And I think they're missing the point. The Lord Jesus Christ does not need commentators to rehabilitate his language. We should actually listen to what he says, rather than trying to make him into some kind of politically correct individual. Let's keep the outcome in view here. This little girl gets healed at the end of the day. The little girl gets healed. So let's try and unpick and think about why Jesus seems to take the long way round to heal this girl. Now, I would suggest to you that the miracles themselves are like little sermons. The picture that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he healed every single sick person that he ever met. That's not the case. Look at the man who was sick that lay at the side of the pool he was sick for 38 years. How long he lay at the pool, I don't know. But there were loads of sick people there. And Jesus singled out this one man and he healed him. He did not heal everyone that was there. That's not what Jesus did. He healed, and the miracle is recorded for us when there is an agenda or a message for us to learn through the miracles. The miracles were not just random healings to alleviate suffering or pain. They had messages in themselves in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ went about the healing. This lady has sought Christ out and comes to him because Christ had attempted with the disciples here to find some seclusion, to have a moment of privacy, to be away from the crowd, and he was not easy to find. But driven by need and desperation, she finally makes contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's well aware of her own needs. Her needs drive her to her knees. Her posture is one of begging. She had a family need. Her little daughter was in urgent need of attention. The text says that the little girl, the little daughter, was possessed by an evil spirit. There are a number of things with this picture that Matthew uses to set up an emotional reaction in us. Christ has retired to a house and has intended to keep his presence secret. But the great need has driven this woman to Christ, and nothing is going to stand in her way. In a plea to Christ, she throws herself at Jesus' feet. And the text says that it's her little daughter. Not just daughter, but a little daughter. A little helpless, dependent child. Now, in the church that I used to be the minister, we had horrendous news when we heard of one of the little boys. As a matter of fact, the first child that I baptized in that church, when we heard the news that he had a brain tumor and was facing neurosurgery and then facing treatment afterwards. And that's quite a number of years ago, and we still get updates today by email to tell us how the latest scan has gone and how the scar tissue in the brain has caused so many problems. And your heart just goes out to the family. And you see the little pictures of the little boy now able to go out and to ride on horseback. And you hear about the little things that he achieves and the operations that he has had to have to be able to correct his vision, to be able to help with paralysis down one side. And it would break your heart. And you think if someone came to you and say and said, if someone came from the village, from the community today and said, look, this has happened to my child, I would like you to pray. Would we not all, as sympathetic human beings, respond to that? Put our arms round the parents. See how we can help them in a practical way. And here is this lady comes with this little helpless dependent child and she brings her need to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you were to stop the story there, how would you finish the story given what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you not say something like that Christ dealt with her in a compassionate and in a tender way? We've all seen something of the love and the sympathy and the understanding that Christ has shown in other occasion. But as we read on in Matthew's Gospel, we get a surprise when we see how Jesus actually ends up treating this woman. He singles her out and he says, "You're a foreigner. A Gentile dog." That was the way the Jews would have referred to all Gentiles. She was a dog and her daughter was a child of a dog. A little daughter, a little dog. Now many who comment on this passage, they try to soften the language and they say, well look, Jesus wasn't saying that she was he didn't mean dog as in dogs. He meant cute little cuddly dogs. Little cute little children's pets. And they say that Jesus is not really harsh as it might first appear. He's not using the language of cute little cuddly dogs. To do that misses the point entirely. Here's what's happening. The lady comes to Jesus and she falls on her knees before him and she takes up the position of a beggar. That is, Jesus, I have no case to argue. Christ is listening to this lady as she comes begging and pleading. And it's almost as if Christ is saying, yes, you're right. You are indeed a beggar. You are a foreigner. You're not a child, but a dog, and you're right to be on your knees because that's really where you belong. Now, we find that naturally a bit strange because here's the way we're used to dealing with people who, if I have realized that I've done you a wrong, and I come to you and I say, look, I'm sorry. I behave like an idiot. I was insensitive in what I said. And you might sometimes be inclined to say to me, look, it doesn't matter. It's okay. And we feel that we're letting the person off the hook. But it does matter. You see, sin is a grievous thing to God. And here is a needy person coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not going to diminish the problem. Perhaps as someone who is repentant comes to us, God has been at work in their hearts. convicting them of their sin, and they come to us confessing their fault, and we play it down. We need to be careful and think about how we're responding. Then there's the other example where some people come to you and say extreme things about themselves, like they just feel like a rat in the way that they've behaved. And you say, yes, you were a rat. And they start to get all upset that you've agreed with them. And all you've done is just agree with them. But they didn't really want you to agree with them, because they didn't really mean what they were saying. And Jesus is getting here to the heart of the matter. In this passage, this woman takes up a correct posture as a beggar. When you come to Christ in faith, when you come repentant to Christ, you're not so sensitive that you take exception, because you realize you come undeserving. In Northern Ireland, some gospel preachers have a phrase that they use that I'm very uncomfortable with. Sinning away your day of grace. Now, I know what they mean by that, but it's used very loosely. As if somehow or other, there's a point in your life when you're deserving of grace, and you may reach a point where you're undeserving of grace. The point that Jesus is teaching here in this passage is, we are always, forever, undeserving of grace. When I was working in prisons, I used to, when we were talking about sin, and as I was trying to get the guys and the girls at times to think about the grave nature of sin and how it left us at a distance from God, there was a section in the prison which was for VPs, vulnerable prisoners. Now, they were usually the sex offenders, the child abusers, or anyone that would be vulnerable from other parts of the prison community. And I used to refer the guys, and it was always a pretty difficult thing to do, and it was always probably, there was an element of danger associated with it as well. But I used to talk about the sins of vulnerable prisoners, and how the grace of God could reach vulnerable prisoners. And that used to create a kind of rage in some prisoners. And they would say, if that's what Christianity is, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. What they were setting up was this. That there's a sin of theft and drugs and murder that are somehow or another worthy of receiving grace, but that there are these other sins of abuse that are not worthy of grace. There is no sin that is worthy of grace. There is no sinner that merits grace. And here is a lady who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as a beggar, and he is really just treating her as she herself is posturing, as she is presenting herself. So he is sending a message back to her, to the disciples, and to us, that she has no claim upon Christ. In this passage, this woman takes up the correct posture as a beggar. And really, that's the posture for us all. Do I for one minute feel that somehow or other I am worthy of being forgiven? When we earlier in the service prayed for God to forgive us for our sins, was I saying, Lord, look, I am a minister, I serve you in chaplaincy and in other areas, and because of that, I deserve forgiveness. Not at all. We are always unworthy. We have no claim. If this lady feels that she is a beggar, then pride is not going to drive her away. She does not deserve blessing because she is a foreigner. And Paul explains it in this way. Therefore remember, he says in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, therefore remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Because she is a foreigner, she has no claim on Christ. She is a foreigner and a stranger to all the promises that God has given. She is without hope and without God in the world. Christ is not being harsh. He is teaching this lady the way that it is with her. And that's how it is to be. An honesty with regard to acknowledging our sin as it is, that it leaves me at a distance from God, that I don't come into God's presence demanding that he puts it right, but I come bowing down before him, acknowledging that I'm wrong, acknowledging that I cannot help myself. I cannot change what I am because of what I am. And I throw myself at the feet of God and look for his help. You see, if this lady was bluffing, then the things that the Lord Jesus Christ would have said would have driven her away. But this exchange to happen, for this exchange to happen, the Lord Jesus takes his disciples out of the land of Israel and into the region of the Gentiles around Tyre and Sidon. As soon as his presence is known in that region, then a woman comes to him for help. Even after he's left the country, there are folk looking for help. And now upon arrival in this area, this non-Jewish woman, and Matthew makes it explicit, she is a Canaanite woman, a woman from around the area of Tyre and Sidon. But Matthew wants you to know that she's a Canaanite woman. In other words, she's not only is she not a Jew, and she's not only a Gentile, but she's a Canaanite Gentile, a descendant of Israel's ancient enemy. And can you imagine the emotion that that would draw up in the minds of the good religious Jews to know that this is a Canaanite woman speaking to the Messiah of Israel? She cries out and she calls for him. Look at how she describes the Lord Jesus. Lord, Son of David. In other words, this woman reverenced Jesus as the Messiah. She worshipped Jesus and acknowledged that Jesus was the sent one. She calls him Lord, just like the lepers did in Matthew chapter 8. Acknowledging him as the Lord and the Master of Israel. She calls him Son of David, just like the blind men had called him Son of David in Matthew chapter 9, acknowledging him to be Messiah. And we see a great contrast here between the Jewish multitudes who will not acknowledge the Messiah as the Messiah, and this Gentile, this Canaanite Gentile, who is openly professing Jesus as Son of David. A great contrast between the faith of that Gentile woman and the unbelief of the Jewish crowds. Why is it that the blind people see it and the Jews can't? Now, Christ at first, we're told in verse 23, does not respond to the lady. He doesn't acknowledge her existence. He does not acknowledge the question. At first, he says nothing. And it's so important for us to understand that this is not insensitivity. Jesus' initial silence and his initial hard words to this woman, they are deliberate. They are part of a plan. Jesus is acting, and as he is acting and saying what he is saying, it is for a reason. And the reason is going to be a blessing for this woman, and it's going to be blessing in the sense of instruction for the disciples. Some of the words that Jesus will speak are designed to prick the hard hearts of his own disciples so that they might see and learn their lack of compassion. In verse 23, the disciples' response is this, just send her away. Let's just get rid of her. She's begging, she's pleading. Her life is falling apart. Her daughter, whom she loves, is in serious difficulties. Just send her away. This is not the first time that we've seen that kind of thing as the disciples respond. The disciples on several occasions have seemed to have their fill of ministry and they want no more of it. All they want is Jesus. Let's get rid of her. She's no part of our business. She's a foul Gentile dog and has no call on the Messiah. Let's get rid of her and get on with our Jesus time. Can you see how much of a conflict that is? Let's get rid of this awful stuff and get on with our time with Jesus. It doesn't sit well together because Jesus on a previous occasion said to his disciples when they looked at hungry people, Jesus said, "You feed them." And the disciples are going to have to learn to have compassion. Now this tactic that the Lord Jesus Christ uses is not one for us to copy. Jesus wouldn't trust me with being able to do this kind of thing. Because God gives us very clear instructions that when we're dealing with others, we are to be tender-hearted, realizing that we are sinful ourselves. As the Master, he can bring this kind of teaching, but this teaching is brought in order to try and actually show up that this is the attitude that's for real in the disciples. And if we react at first to what Jesus is doing here in this passage, why do we let ourselves off the hook when we sometimes behave in a similar way towards other people? Just send her away. Here is need. Here is opportunity. And the reason why I want to send her away is I have no compassion. But the Lord Jesus Christ has compassion. Look what he says in the final analysis. What faith? Do you think the faith was tested? He doesn't listen. Can you imagine going away in a strop from Jesus? You come to this religious man and you say, "Can you help me?" You actually get down on your knees and you worship him and you plead with him. And he doesn't listen. Well, if that's who Jesus is, I'm off. but she perseveres. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, look, I have come for my own people, not for Gentile dogs. And the woman responds, but even outsiders are fed from the crumbs that fall from the table. She's not going to be deterred. Why is she not taking offense? Because she realizes her need. And what she demonstrates to us is a sincerity, an acceptance of her needy position. Sometimes I'm not that sincere when I apologize. Here's the way I sometimes apologize. I'm sorry that I said what I said, but I didn't get much sleep last night, and that explains why I said what I said. It's not really a great apology, is it? When you have a sentence which goes, I'm sorry, but, it's usually not much of an apology. So think about that when you're apologizing. And here is this lady who comes, and there's no but in her sentence. It's not, I am needy, but I've had a hard time in life, and because I've had a hard time in life, I am worthy of your attention. I am needy. And while I have no claims upon you, because I am an outsider, surely even the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table, even the little dog's feet of that. And she's recognizing and acknowledging her need. And the disciples here are beginning to learn that the Lord Jesus Christ does reach out. And he actually sets this lady up and says to the disciples, she in fact is an example to you of great faith. And she's an example to me of what great faith is. She's an example to me to make me think about my confession of sin and whether I truly spend enough time seeing sin for what it is, exceedingly sinful, as the Puritans would say. To see it, that it separates us from God. Jesus is not making fun of this woman. He's not being unkind to her. Not as a woman, not as a Gentile. Jesus has an eternal message to convey to her. It may seem harsh in its beginning, but if you were to interview that lady now, as she is in heaven, and ask her what she thought of the way Jesus handled her, she would say, he's my Lord, Son of David, Messiah, sent one from God, eternally grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ took her sin seriously. Eternally grateful that she herself was able to realize that she had no merit to claim, reminding us that no one deserves the grace of God. You know what preachers are? Preachers are beggars who tell other beggars where to find bread. So if a preacher comes across in a way that seems anything other than a beggar himself, just keep that in your mind. It's so important for us to have perspective on the blessings that we have received and on the grounds on which we have received those blessings. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Nothing of merit do I bring as I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go before God, we go with open hands, asking God to give us what we do not deserve. I remember my very last exam, well, what I thought was my last exam. I seem to be doing exams all my life. But when I was doing my first degree at the university over in Belfast, I stayed with a Christian family down in Belfast, and my landlord said to me as I was leaving the house to go to do what I thought was my last exam, he said to me, "I hope you get the result that you deserve." And I thought, oh, thank. And then I thought about that. No, I want actually a better result than what I deserve. It was a bit scary going in thinking that I was going to get what I deserve. I wanted a break. I wanted somebody to say something like good luck or something like that. Some sort of other edge that would improve things for me. That the questions might be ones that I had revised. That I might remember everything that I had studied and that I would do really well. I wanted something better than I deserved. And sometimes when I go before God, it humbles me to think the last thing that I want to say to God is give me what I deserve. And that's what grace is. He gives us what we don't deserve. And that's what should keep us a thankful people. That God treats us with grace. What were the disciples to learn? Disciples, treat that lady with grace. You jumped on the bandwagon thinking that I was ignoring her. And that actually brought out the worst in you. Because you wanted to drive her away. Because she was a Gentile. Because she was a Canaanite. Because she was undeserving. But because she is all of those things, I'm going to bless her. Because she's in a position, recognizing her unworthiness, recognizing that she is undeserving. And there are so many religious folk in the land that we've just left. And they're so arrogant and expectant, thinking that they are worthy. And they're really not, because this lady, who's an outsider, is an example to them of what true faith is like. I would like that I would learn from this passage that I might treat others with grace. I used to say to the prisoners when I was leading Bible studies with them, I said, I want you to recognize that a major part of the difference between you and me is that I didn't get caught. And isn't that the case? We didn't get caught. We are undeserving. And I trust, as I think of my own unworthy, undeserving condition, as I bump into my fellow Christian, that I'll have that in the back of my mind. We're both undeserving. We didn't deserve the blessing that we've received. The blessing that God has given me shouldn't make me into a proud individual. It shouldn't make me haughty. It shouldn't make me feel that I'm a rank above others. But it should make me feel that I'm just a beggar that has found bread. And to keep that low and humble attitude and seek the blessing of other beggars in telling them where they too can find bread in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you deal in a wise and in a gracious way. That at times you took a longer way round in accomplishing a task because you cared not only for the presenting need, but for the deeper underlying need. that people might understand the gospel. And Father, we pray that you will help us to understand the gospel, and that we would understand the position that we have within the kingdom of God is one of grace, is one of mercy. We thank you, as undeserving sinners, we can come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins. Help us, we pray, to learn these lessons for Christ the Saviour's sake. Amen.